exhale. Now I have exhale crossed out because that's what the movie is waiting to exhale, but it's a play on words. I'm talking about waiting to excel. And so I will build it up to tell you kind of what made me think about this. And so we just got back from a cruise, and this is our second one. We've taken two. Our first one was last year, and we cruised on a ship called Carnival Cruise Line. Had a great time. This year, we decided to cruise on a ship called Disney, the Disney Cruise Line. And there was a big price difference. And so when I was there, I was wondering what makes Disney so much more than Carnival. The first thing I recognize is Disney is just flat out greedy, number one. That's number one. But number two, there is a level of excellence that Disney carries that you don't just get with every company. And normally with excellence, it starts with attention to detail. And what separates a three-star hotel from a five-star hotel is not just the cost you pay, but it's the attention to details. It is the level of excellence. Going back to Disney for a second, number one, all the girls are dressed as princess all the time. So whenever anyone interacted with Alana, it was always Princess Alana. And at one point, I believe Draylen asked for some ketchup. And so the guy came over with ketchup, but he didn't come over with Heinz 57 in his hand to squeeze. He came over and he dipped out ketchup on the plate. And he was taking a while to dip it out. And I'm like, man, just put the ketchup on the plate. But when I realized what he was doing, he was dipping out the ketchup in the shape of Mickey Mouse. It's the attention to detail. In other words, if you're going to pay more, I'm going to let you know that I'm going to bring to you another level of excellence. So that gives you kind of what I'm thinking about where we're approaching. And so let's look up what the word excel means. Let's give you a definition for excel. To be exceptionally good at or proficient in any activity or subject, surpass, outdo, outshine, outclass, outstanding, basically going beyond. Excel comes from two words, the Latin root ex, which means either out or above, and the other root cell, where we get almost Celsius, but actually means otherworldly, or in other words, it means a high standard. So going above even the highest standard. Now, let me give you the word excellent, and then I'm going to park for a second, give just a quick rabbit trail. Excellent, eminently or extremely good for its kind. First class, superb, outstanding, magnificent. These are the words that are associated with excel, excellence, or excellent. And so let me take just a quick rabbit trail. I love the idea that of entrepreneurship, and that business is for everybody, and business is not just for one race. And I know we have more than one race here today, but let me talk to black folk for just a second. When you do have a business, you have to have some excellence with your business if you want your business to be supported. If you're going to start a food shack and you're going to tell everybody it opens up at 11, don't show up at 12:30. Your website says 11. Your Facebook says 11. And how are you going to serve chicken and always out of chicken? If you're going to have a business, there has to be a level of excellence. And a lot of times we look at folk and say they're just haters. They're not hating on you. You will not excel. You will not be first class. You will not be outstanding. You will not be superb. And you will not be magnificent. And you cannot have my dollars until you provide a certain level of excellence. We have to learn that excellence is a part of life, and it separates people. It separates things. It separates how things are done. And the problem with church people is we think this, oh, well, anything goes attitude, because I have grace, anything goes. Yes, anything can go, but you may not go where you want to go if you don't learn how to first excel. You know that we always talk about going to another level, and there's another devil on another level. But if you don't excel, you're not going to even find the new devil, because you're not ever going to get to another level. We got to stop putting things in the cloud and get back to some practical, disciplined things, and first make up in my mind, I'm going to excel. I'm going to do it in the classroom. I'm going to do it in the boardroom. I'm going to do it in the church. I'm going to do it at home. I'm going to learn to excel. I'm the only saved Christian on my street. That's awesome. But if your grass is the highest on the street and your shutters are all messed up and your house looks the ugliest, put your hand down about your Christianity and first pick up around your house before you talk about what God has done in your life. Because if God has done it in your life, at some point it will show up in your daily routine. Amen. So let's start with this premise. Number one, God is excellent. So if God is in us and God is excellent, that means there has to be some type of excellence inside of us. If he is excellent and he's in us, there has to be some excellence there. If I have a glass of water and I take some dirt and I put it in the water, it's going to change the look and the taste and even the chemical makeup of the water because of what I put in it. If God is great and he's in you, why aren't you great? Let's look. Let's make sure I'm not just telling you God is excellent. Let's read. Let's look at Psalms 8 and 1.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens.
This is the beginning of chapter 8, and then the last verse of chapter 8 comes back to the same phrase. Read again.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Psalms 148 and 13.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is
excellent. His name alone is above average.
His glory is above the heaven and the earth.
His name alone is barely getting by. His name alone is just enough. It's excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth and the heaven. Let's read Psalms 150 and 2.
Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Two things. Number one, praise him according to his mighty acts. But if he has not done what you wanted him to do, you still are obligated to praise him, because you're not praising him for his acts. You're praising him for his excellent greatness. He is excellent and he's great, and that's the way he should be handled. So let me throw this example out. A lot of times pastors want to preach and talk about folk want to go to the club instead of going to church. But at the club, they got air at the club. At the club, it starts on time. At the club, they got security. But at your church, you don't even have a working toilet. And you want to fuss at people for not coming to God. Yes, they should come to God. But if you're not even beating what the world is doing, if you're not even getting close, why do you expect people to give you their time if you don't represent God as excellent as he is? Now, of course, you can't compete when you don't have the same amount of money, but you can be excellent on any level. I may not be a millionaire, but that doesn't mean that I cannot do things in my price range in an excellent manner. The millionaire and the broke person both have an iron, and even though you're broke, you can still iron your pants. You can still press your shirt. You can still brush your teeth. There are some basic things that have to be done to show the reflect what you believe about yourself. Now, if we believe God is excellent, so there's some things that's going to happen to take place about us. So let's put this up. If God is excellent, How can we properly represent God without excellence? So if, in other words, let's put it to you this way. The Bible says God is love. If God is love, how can you represent God without being loving? If God is excellent, how can you represent God without excellence? And so I want to take us to the last scripture that we read from the last series we did, which was Enough Part 4. And we were talking about how that we are not trying to become righteous. We are righteous based on what God has done for us. And so we left you with this verse. It is 2 Corinthians 5:21. Read this.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
So I'm turning just a little bit of corner. I'm taking us back to something, God, but I'm still talking about excellence. So the reason why we are who we are is because God traded his righteousness for our sin. And we get to become righteous, not based on what we've done, but based on who he is. Now, based on who he is, it will affect our behavior. But behavior modification is not the way we become righteous. We become righteous by believing in what Jesus has already done. And so we made sure we painted that picture for you. But I want us to go back up in the chapter and show us some more things. And so what we're going to do is back up to the most familiar part in this chapter and read it. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
We normally treat this only as a sin scripture. That if you're in Christ, your sin will change. It's not just a sin scripture. It's a scripture about the whole of who you are. It's not just about getting out of sin. It's about the fact that when you change places with Christ and he comes in your life, everything about you goes through a process of metamorphosis and a process of change. Just because you grew up in the ghetto doesn't mean you have to have a ghetto mentality. And when Christ comes in your life, there's some things about your mentality that will change. Even though your environment dictates one thing, you are becoming new. And it's not just new righteousness, but it's new everything about you. You have new love. You have new desires. You have new appetite. And also your level of excellence when he comes in, it begins to shift and change. All right, let's dig it a little deeper. Let's go to verse 18.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
I would take some time to explain that, but the next verse explains it even more. Let's read verse 19.
That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
This is a beautiful picture of the gospel, is that when Christ walked the earth, the Bible says that God was actually in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Doing what?
Not imputing their trespasses to them.
Not pointing out all their failures, but what?
And has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
So what he was doing when Jesus was walking the earth, God was in there reconciling everybody, fixing things and letting people know there's a new path to me. It's not through the priest. It is through belief in me. But then it says he's committed to us this word of reconciliation, which means God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And then when Christ gets in us, he's also through us reconciling the world to himself. And so then verse 20 gives us a beautiful picture. Verse 20 says what?
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Now then, we are ambassadors not for our neighborhood, not for our political party, not for our denomination, but we are ambassadors for Christ. We are our own personal embassy, and the embassy does not reflect where you are. It reflects who you are an ambassador of. I'll give you a perfect example. When we were in the Bahamas, me and my wife took a little tour, and they showed us one thing, that there's a big, beautiful hotel called Atlantis that cost a lot of money, and they said it cost $850 million to build. But then they said the Chinese had bought land in the Bahamas and they're building a $4 billion hotel to to rival anything that's ever been on the island before. So the Chinese are buying up and they're getting ready to put a massive hotel there. And then what they did, they took us and showed us the Chinese embassy in the Bahamas. Now, we were looking at the Bahama buildings and how they were made, but when you came to the Chinese embassy, it didn't look like the Bahama buildings because it's not trying to be like the Bahamas. It is representing the Republic of China, so it looked and it operated different because it's not trying to represent the Bahamas. It's trying to represent the country from where they are from. And if you are an ambassador of Christ, you're not here to represent yourself. You're not here to represent your hood and your bloods and your crips. You're here to represent the Christ that is in heaven. Now, let me ask you this question. If the streets are gold in heaven, why do you walk around with mustard stains on your shirt all day long trying to preach to somebody? Go home, change your shirt, and come back out because you are representing heaven. Now, it's not just about material things and natural things, but here's what I've learned. If you don't understand natural things, you'll never understand spiritual things. If you can't excel in basic stuff, it's going to be hard for you to excel in spiritual things. If when you walk in the mall, you pass everybody and you never speak, and you never say hi, and you never wave, and you never smile, then when we go out witnesses and you're talking about come to church, people don't want to come to your church because you're mean. This is the problem I have with some Christians. You're socially awkward. You don't even know how to function outside of the four walls of a church. Do you know how to just be a person representing Christ? You don't have to walk in the park talking about God's going. Nobody want to see all that. Just walk through the park, be regular, but know who you're representing. So we got to get back to practical things. And this is the point I'm trying to make. God is waiting for you to excel. And let me actually throw this in here. When people who, like in my position, leaders, when leaders delegate things to people and they are excellent, what it does, it causes the leader to be able to exhale because I know it's going to be taken care of. If I put it in their hands, I'm not going to have to worry about anything because they have a level of excellence and they know they are representing my name. Sister Rutha has a business, and so she cannot be at every place that she cleans. But every one of her workers are representing her name. So when she finds a worker that excels, it gives her a reason to exhale because things are taken care of. And I wonder if God has to hold his breath every time you walk out the doors because you don't know what you're going to do. He don't know how you're going to represent him. He know you're going to have a church bumper sticker, but he don't know how many flipping the birds you're going to do before you get to your where you're going. So sometimes we have to learn how to just excel. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. It carries the concept on a little bit more.
We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
So don't receive the grace of God, which he changed positions with you, in vain, and never go through any transformation in your life and never grow and never look any better and always thinking the same and always acting the same. Why would you take the free blood of Jesus Christ and stay exactly the same? And so Paul said, as laborers together with God, as workers with God, as ambassadors of Christ, we are urging you to do some things. And let's look at verse 3.
We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed.
He didn't say we don't do things because we're afraid of sinning and going to hell. I know I have the grace of God. There are certain things I don't do because it will give an offense to the ministry. And I don't want the ministry to be blamed because we're trying to reconcile people to God. Yes. Let me give you an example. For 1995 was the last time I've been drunk in my life. 1995. And so I came out of school that time, rededicated my life. And for about 20 years, I didn't drink any alcohol because I was afraid of going back. I finally realized that actually I can handle alcohol and it's not a sin for me to drink it. But one thing I do know is because of who I represent, if I decide to drink, I'm not going to drink just anywhere around anybody because I don't want to bring an offense to the office that I have. There is no drink tasty enough for me to offend the office that God has brought me to. In the 20 years that I never tasted another thing of alcohol, God elevated me. Why would I chance and risk all of that just because I'm free? Freedom requires responsibility. And it's more important for me not to offend the ministry. I'm not a perfect person, but I do realize I have eyes on me. And so when I walk out, I'm not being fake, but I understand in the social media age that we live in, I can't just do any and everything. I've got to be careful how I move and how I act because I'm representing this church, I'm representing my family, and I'm representing my God. Now, there's times I just want to go to the gas station. I want to put on my flip-flops and my unmatching socks, and I want to just run out there and go and pump me some gas. But because I have set a brand that I dress well and I'm put together, I have to be careful what I do in my downtime because I might be sending the wrong message. It's about my level of excellence. So let's say it again, waiting to excel. All right, let's put this up. What if I'm going through too much to excel? Can I do just enough to get by? If somebody was to ask that question, I'm going to say it again. Pastor, what if I'm going through too much to excel? I don't make what you make. I'm not married like you're married. Nobody's looking at me like the pastor. So what if I'm going through too much to excel? Can I do just enough to get by? Let me answer the question. Yes, you can. You sure enough can. You can do just enough to get by. So why are you talking about this? Well, let me put this up. Because excellence is a choice. It's not a demand. I can't demand excellence. I can demand, but that don't mean you're going to do it. I can tell you, you need to be on time for church, but that don't mean you're going to do it. I can tell you the church needs for you to tithe, but that don't mean you can do it. At the end of the day, it's just like your salvation. It is an individual relationship that requires an individual choice. So some of you can walk out of here today and choose not to be excellent. But somebody can make up in my mind today, from this day forward, I'm going to start walking in more level of excellence because I know where I'm headed. Now, let me say this to you. If you're not headed anywhere, stay the way you are. If you don't have a brighter future, stay the way you are. But if you got hopes and dreams and you believe God is doing something in your life and you believe he's leaning in your direction, I would make a choice to be more excellent in the way I do things. I would make a decision that if anybody's going to do it, I'm going to do it. I hear Joshua in my spirit. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what Trump does. I don't care what the preacher down the street does. But for what God has for me, there's some stuff I just have to do because of what I want to be. Now, if you look at anybody who's super, super, super successful, you will find out there's some choices that they made that seem radical and seem indifferent, but they were not building their life based on their present. They were building their life based on their future. Number one that comes to my mind is Bill Gates. And it says that for several years, Bill Gates didn't believe in weekends. He didn't believe in taking time off on weekends. Now he can take as many weekends off as he wants because he's worth almost 50-something billion dollars or more. But there was a time in his life he had to sacrifice based on where he thought he could go. You cannot get everything now. You're going to have to turn some things down now for a future day. Yeah. Now, because of social media age, a lot of times we post things to show people what God is doing in our life and how God is blessing. And sometimes I'm concerned about it because I'm posting. Number one, we only post our highlights. Most people, if they have any wisdom, they only post your highlights. You don't really post all your problems. Some people are foolish and post all their problems, but that's another story, another sermon. But we mainly post our highlights. So I need some people to understand, when you see me posting my Jordans, I was 35 before I ever wore a pair of Jordans. Not because I couldn't afford it, but I wanted a house first. I wanted vacations first. I wanted life insurance first. I didn't want to have more on my feet than I had in my circle. There were some cars that I wanted to drive, so there's some stuff I had to say no to. And what was that? That was a choice for excellence. One thing I don't want to do is preach all around the world and die and nobody knows how we're going to bury him. No, I want my life insurance taken care of because I want to be excellent. There were things that me and Devin couldn't do. There were things that we did before the kids that we couldn't do after the kids. The stuff that you see me doing now, it took a while to do it. And I normally wouldn't say this, but let me announce this because I think it'll help what I'm saying. So I just got off of a big expensive vacation, but my credit score is 782. I did not put my vacation in debt. I'm not in debt for my vacation. I knew a long time ago for where I'm going, I can't stay at 600 credit. I got to do the work. And did it hurt? Yes, it hurt, but it was a choice. Because I want to go somewhere and because I'm reflecting you. And if your pastor is the meanest, ugliest, brokest in town, it ain't no need you inviting nobody to your church. I am reflecting you. Let me say something else. You are reflecting me. So if I make a choice for excellence, some of y'all going to have to make a choice too. It takes some work. Yes, it does. It's hard. Yes, it is. But you'll get through it, and when you get on the other side, you'll thank God that you took the time to walk an excellent path. So now what we're going to do, we're going to go to Daniel, and we're going to look at different stories in Daniel. These are like the famous stories of Daniel, but we're not going to read the whole story. I'll just summarize, and I want to point out a few things in the life of Daniel to point out my point. So Daniel 1 is the first one we'll go to, and read Daniel 1:1.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it.
I want to use this first to answer the question, what if it is too hard for me to excel? Can I be the same? And we already answered the question, yes, you can. But I want you to understand that when Daniel starts off, the book of Daniel doesn't start off in a happy place. It starts off in the fact that people are getting ripped out of Jerusalem and made slaves. If you know anything about the story, they had rebelled against God, and this was the first exile since the time of the children of Israel coming over the Red Sea. So this is the way Daniel starts. The king had finally been captured, and Jerusalem was besieged. That means it was over. It was no longer a state anymore. It was no longer its own self. It was taken over. Verse 2.
And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand.
And here's the problem. The Lord gave the king over to his hand. In other words, this was the plan of God. This was the consequence God allowed them to go through. So when you're in a consequence that God has allowed, there ain't nothing you can do to buck against it.
That's right.
Read.
With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God.
I'll take just a quick little rabbit trail. When I read about all the stuff they put in the temple, it's hard for me to fathom it, knowing that just some years later, those things are going to be stripped out of the temple and taken to a foreign land. Verse 3.
And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes.
It may be hard for you to understand what's going on, but I'll give you a parallel example. When people went to Africa to grab slaves, they didn't first grab the skinniest, scrawniest they could grab. They grabbed the strong strapping men because they was going to make good slaves. They brought the women with the good childbearing hips because they were going to be able to reproduce. In other words, they didn't go grab the low of the low. They went and grabbed the best of the best. And whenever your country was under siege, they started with the best people and they grabbed them. And it says Ashpenaz was the master of eunuchs. And eunuchs was a person who couldn't have children. But when you understood how Babylonians operated, and you understood how wartime was in that time, it begins to lend you to this idea that the eunuchs that were eunuchs were forced eunuchs. They didn't just wake up and weren't able to bear kids. In other words, let me just be basic to you. They were castrated men. They were men that said, we don't want you to get caught up with a bunch of women, so we're going to emasculate you. We're going to take the best that you have, and the only thing you can be is a servant for me. And in studying this, it looks like both Daniel, Abednego, Meshach, and the other fella, all four of them, it looks like they all had been castrated. Yeah, Shadrach. So the question is, would it have been easy for them not to be excellent under the circumstances? And let me go back and talk to black people just for a second, even though I have several others in the room. Just because you came from slavery does not give you the right to stay beneath just because of where you came from. Daniel was stripped and pulled out and they were emasculated. And not because they were bad, it's because they were the best of the best. Let's read verse 4.
Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans.
One thing about colonialism is they strip you from your nation and reprogram you with all their stuff. One version, this is the King James, one version said they were the good-looking men. So we're not talking about people that couldn't have had women. They could have had, but they were taken. And so let's go to Daniel 6. We're going to put Daniel 6 out. I'm painting that picture. So if anybody had a reason to not be excellent, it was Daniel and his group. And here's something else we have to understand. The reason why they were being stripped and being brought into slavery was because of the sins of the people. But Daniel and them were not the sinning people. They were the people doing right, and they still had to suffer the consequence. Not only that, they were part of the royal line. So let's go a little deeper. Let's read 6 and 1.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom.
Now we're moving all the way to 6, and by this time, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians are gone, and this is the Medes and the Persians. And it was a king named Darius, and he decides, and when he comes in, to set order up, and what he wants to do, he wants to set over the kingdom 120 princes that should govern the whole kingdom. He wants to divide it all down. That would be like having 120 governors. So let's read the next verse.
And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first.
Let me stop right there. So there's 120 princes. Over the 120 princes, he was going to set three presidents. It means each president had 40 princes under them, and each prince had a lot of people under them. And the Bible says Daniel was first. Read.
That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage.
Let's read verse 3.
Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm.
The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Not because he was good looking, not because he was from the royal family, but they found an excellent spirit in him. No matter what he had been through and the challenges he has faced, what you can cut my stuff off, but you can't cut the excellence out of my spirit. You can talk about me. You can lie on me. You can set up the criminal justice system against me, but you cannot take excellence out of my spirit. there's something about me that no matter how much pressure I'm under, one day I'm still going to rise. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy's going to come in the morning, because what I have in my spirit. Now, let me say this to the point of almost being annoying. I'm going to say it over and over because I want to make a point. Excellent spirit. 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 So I said that enough. So why would you say that all the time? Because I want to make this one point. And let's put this up. Excellence is spiritual. See, a lot of times when people talk about excellence, they aren't trying to make the church like a business, and they be so natural. I just want to come in and speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues all you want, but when you go to the bank, they want a business plan. They don't want no, no, they don't want to hear all that. They want a business plan. So when I talk about excellence, I am not being unspiritual, nor am I being unscriptural. Excellence is spiritual, and excellence is scriptural. And some of y'all are never going to get anywhere in life until you get back to the basics of having an excellent spirit. Let me just test you real quick. If somebody comes to you and they have a burning secret, and they tell you and they ask you to keep it in confidence, and you got to tell just one person, you don't have an excellent spirit. You might be saved, you might be going to heaven, but there's something wrong with your integrity. When they said, don't tell anybody, well, they didn't mean my mom. They said, don't tell anybody. Because you tell one person, and the one person says, I ain't gonna tell nobody but one person. And the one person tells another person, and now their business is all out in the street because you don't have an excellent spirit. Let me give you an example. If they say there was a time when Sundays, that restaurant said the worst crowd was the Sunday crowd. Because the church folk would go and be the most to complain and leave the lowest tip, and they really would rather not deal with us because even though we were spiritual, we didn't have an excellent spirit. How did Daniel go through all he went through? Because he had an excellent spirit. So we got to get back to having an excellent spirit. And here's the key. If we keep allowing God in, then God is going to keep building excellence within us. Because one thing God will do, he loves you like you are, but he won't leave you like you are. And when he gets in, the first thing he does is this home makeover. And he begins to make over stuff, not on the outside, but on the inside. He begins to deal with stuff and pluck stuff and change stuff. And when you allow God inside, because here's the thing, you can fool church people, but you can't fool God. And God knows that some of us are just going through the motions, and there's other of us, we're saying, God, please make me into something that you want me to be. He had an excellent spirit. All right, let's read a little more. Let's go to Daniel 6:4.
Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom.
Let me stop right there. So what I didn't tell you what Daniel 6 was, Daniel 6 is the lion's den. It's Daniel in the lion's den. So it's a very familiar, but I wanted to back up to the unfamiliar passages. And the question is, how did the people hate him so much to want to put him in the lion's den? And it was simply because of this, he had an excellent spirit. Read some more.
But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him.
Now, I know we like to preach about folk lying on us, but if nobody lies on you, you don't have an excellent spirit. Because when you are excellent, the only thing they can do is make something up about you. If everything out there on the street is true about you, I don't know why you complaining. They're just passing the truth. But when folk lie on you, you ought to, it hurts. I ain't going to say you got praise to it. It hurts. But something click in the back of your head, at least it's not the truth. At least the devil had to make up something to try to slow me down. If the devil is not doing anything crazy in your life, it's because you're not a threat. You lack so much excellence, you'll mess your own self up. He ain't even got to worry about you. Oh, saints, I got a job. The devil ain't got to attack your job because you show up late to everything. All he got to do is wait 3 months and you're going to lose the job that you praise God for. And then you're going to turn around and blame it on the devil. And the devil had nothing to do with it. It was your lack of excellence. All right, so let me put this up. Excellence is intimidating. True excellence is intimidating. If anybody is intimidated about you, don't go cry in the corner. It's because of the excellence of your spirit. And they thought long and hard how to slow you down. And they couldn't think of nothing but to lie and to make up stuff about you. And if they're lying on you and talking about you and it's not true, you ought to know it's because I have an excellent spirit. Amen. Something else that we see in this, let's put this up. Excellence precedes promotion, which means it comes before promotion. So I can preach promotion all I want, but excellence predates promotion. You don't just show up and get promoted. If you show up and get promoted, what happens is you become a shooting star. You shoot high and you fall real low. That's the problem with some of the politicians that had a meteoric rise. They fall right on their face because true excellence precedes promotion. And so if you heard no most of your life and you hear God, you see God shutting doors in your face and the loan is denied, don't automatically think God doesn't love you. He's building your excellence. He's building your intestinal fortitude. He's making so you're not so wishy-washy and everything will throw you for a loop. He's building you so that when he promotes you, you can stand in the place he promotes you. The worst thing is to step into a level that you don't have the integrity or the character to handle. God, when you promote me, I want to be able to stand. Now, here I am, my 8th year of pastoring. When my father turned the church over to me, if I had not had some excellence before that, I wouldn't have lasted 8 months. But there was something that had to go in to the destiny that I'm standing in right now. All right, let's read this. We're going to come out of Daniel for just a second. Proverbs 22 and 29.
Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men.
We like to quote the scripture, a man's gift will make room for him. But this is a parallel scripture. You have to tie to it. Do you see a man who excels in his work? If the man is a janitor and he's cleaning toilets, that may seem like a lowly occupation, but you still can clean the toilets in a way that shows your excellence. Because you won't be cleaning toilets all your life. There's another level, but the toilets are testing you to see what you are and what you are about. If you don't take pride in the toilet, you won't take pride in the mansion. It's about where you start. And here's the thing, and this is something else we got to learn as spiritual people. Stop promoting people based on their talk. I'm saved, and God has done, he delivered me from crack cocaine, and God has got me in ministry. It's good to hear all that talk, but the Bible says, do you see a man who excels in his work? I don't want to just hear what you're talking about. I want to see your work. I got a leak in my roof and I'm calling somebody, and because I don't have the money, I got to try some jackalegs out. Every jackaleg ain't bad. Some of them know exactly what they're doing. But don't just take the first jackaleg because you're broke. Try them out. Show me your work. What have you done before? Well, let me show you. Go down to such and such. When I go down there, there's a bigger hole in that. You can't get my job. Because your work is not as good as your mouth. Let me say, this is what one thing annoys me more than anything. Do not overpromise and then underdeliver. I would rather you underpromise and overdeliver than for you to overpromise and then underdeliver. And in the church, I've had so many people overpromise and then underdeliver. I'm not one who has a set fee to come speak. So when someone seeks me out and they want me to preach and they say this, many times they sell the ministry. And like, we gonna do a crusade and we're going to do all this. And when I get there, we don't do none of what they're talking about. One time, it was supposed to be a 3-day revival in 3 different churches. We had a 1-day revival, and the other 2 times I was sitting in the pastor's house and looking at them eating fish. This is not what I came 400 miles for. Now, because I was young and I accepted it, but what I made up in my mind, I'm not coming back. I'm here now. I'm going to make the best of it, but I'm not coming back because I realize the excellence in my spirit. Even though I love the people, I can't stay in this environment. You have to speak to the excellence in me for me to feel comfortable. I'm not sadiddy. I can do anything. I wear dirty clothes and work in a factory. I'm not sadiddy, but I want somebody to recognize the excellence inside of me for me to be comfortable. All right, let's go to Daniel 5. I'm going to try to wrap this up in the next 2.5 hours. Daniel 5 and 11. So I went all the way to Daniel 6, and I want to back up to chapter 5 for a second because something happened in chapter 5 that I wanted to show you, but I wanted to do it out of order for a reason. Let's look at chapter 5, 11.
There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God.
I'll stop right there. This is an unsaved woman speaking about Daniel. And her speech about him is that he's a man that has the spirit of the holy gods. You may run into people that are not quote unquote Christians, but they ought to know there's something different about them. There's something about them. And to give you the backstory, after Nebuchadnezzar, back with the Babylonians, after Nebuchadnezzar lived his life, he died, his son took over. And his son took over, and his son was just acting wild, and they were having this crazy party, doing all kinds of crazy things, and they were using the stolen things from the temple for this party. And the Bible says that there was a man's hand that came and began to write something on the wall. And it scared them, and they didn't know what it was. And so he called all his magicians and all his people, and nobody could tell what was going on. And so here this woman stands up and says, there's a man in your kingdom. Here's something I got to get you to understand. The reason why it's not your time is not because you're not ready. But there is not a problem that's big enough for you to rise yet. And so what God has done is he sets you in a place that when the problem shows up, that becomes your answer. Let me give you an example. David was always David, but David couldn't be David until Goliath showed up. And when the problem showed up, it was the right time for David. But here's the thing. Before Goliath showed up, there was a lion and there was a bear. And David was prepared for Goliath before Goliath ever showed up. Daniel was prepared for this situation before it ever came. And let me announce to you, some of the hell you've been in is just to prepare you to announce you for your arrival. And when you step on the scene, you will not be afraid. I got just a little time to deal with this. I'm going to go back to David for a second. I thought about this. Here's something. Goliath was not even a threat to David. David didn't even need courage to fight Goliath. Here's the reason why. The Bible said Goliath came and for 40 straight days, he announced what he was going to do. The lion is an animal. The bear is an animal. The lion and the bear, they don't announce to you when they're coming. They just come. And so for all those days Goliath was talking, David had time to plan. He didn't have time to plan with the bear. He didn't have time to plan with the lion. He just had to go in there and fight. And there's some trials in your life you couldn't prepare for, but you made it out. You fought your way out. And this devil is trying to stand in front of your face. He's talking a bunch of junk, but you done already figured out how you're going to slay him down. I've already figured it out. Every time the Powerball get high, I already planned in my mind what I would do with that kind of money if one of y'all play and win. If one of y'all. But I've already planned in my mind. I don't wait till it happens to have a plan. I'm already thinking it through. And that way when I show up, I know what to do. And let me say this. I have seen myself preach at Bishop Jake's church. I've never preached there, but I've seen myself preach there. And I'm already preparing messages for that day. Even though I'm here right now, I'm already looking for another today. The Cadillac I'm driving now, I already drove it in my head because I'm always looking for another day where I can excel. So here's a situation that comes up, and the woman says, there's a man in the kingdom. And read.
In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers.
Another thing I want to throw in there is something when administration changes hands, people can be forgotten about. His daddy knew who Daniel was, but when the son took over, he got totally overlooked. Let me throw this in. My father may have known who you are, and when I took over, I didn't overlook you, but if you keep being excellent, I can't overlook you too long. Let's read the next verse.
Because an excellent spirit.
Well, there we go. An excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. Not just a degree. Not just the car and the clothes they wear, but an excellent spirit. Read.
Knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems.
Were
found in this.
Hold on, let me just talk to that for a second. Some of you are problem solvers and don't even know it. God got a problem solver down in your spirit. That's why your kids act so doggone crazy. It's to train you how to solve problems on the fly. My mama learned how to whoop us while she was driving a car, not even looking in the same direction. She could drive and hit somebody and keep driving. God will put you in situations where you have to learn on the fly. Hey, but when the time comes and everybody else is scared, you'll stand up with a solution and know for certain. Because I done been through so much junk and so much hell. And this is the reason why some of our black men are making it. Because if I can sell dope and not get caught, if I can sell dope in a town like Muncie where everybody knows what's going on and not get caught, I need to turn that into something positive, because you are a genius if you could do that in this day and age and not get caught. Turn that in and use that problem-solving mind for something positive. Not a big fan of hip hop, but I appreciate Jay-Z moving into billionaire status, coming from hustling on a corner. I thank God that somebody can take those God-given talents and turn them in the right direction. Amen. All right, well, where were we on this? Just read the rest of that.
And solved problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation.
Verse 13.
Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, you are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah.
It's so beautiful. He recognized, aren't you one of the slave folk? How is it that you're in this kingdom and everybody's talking about you? Yeah, you can look at the color of my skin. Yeah, you can look at the lack of money in my bank account. And yeah, you can look at all I've been through. But one thing you cannot tell is how excellent I am until I get a chance to show what I got. Read.
You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah.
Read verse 14.
I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you.
This is what I want to know, and we're coming to a close. This is what I want to know. It's one thing for the church to say something about you, but what does the world say about you? In other words, when the king had trouble, somebody said, there is a man. Is there anybody in the streets that is recommending you for anything? You know what? There is this guy that goes to this church called Deliverance. I don't know much about it, but I've heard about this guy. I've heard about this girl. And if you need something fixed, I heard about them. It's time for us to go in front of kings and go in front of mayors and go in front of presidents. It's our time, but you have to work on your excellence. Not to brag on myself, but I just noticed in the last year, I realized that the Ball State president knows me by name. The president and the CEO of Ball Memorial Hospital knows me by name. The mayor knows me by name. And the two people running for mayor know me by name. I realize, how did I get here to where I'm sitting in these places that people have all this power and they know who I am? Is because there's an excellent spirit. Now, I don't just want to know people. I think God is positioning me for something higher and better. So what I'm doing, I'm working to keep myself. That's why you're not going to hear Andre got 12 girlfriends. Not because I may not have thought about 12 girlfriends, but I'm not a fool to mess up the excellence. Can I have 12 girlfriends? Maybe, but it wouldn't be excellent. And Devin B. done killed me long time ago. So I got two reasons to walk in the straight and narrow. As I closed, remember some years ago on my birthday, Devin took me to the gun range, and the first time I had been at a gun range shooting, and then she went, and she was scared, but was shooting straight. And even though she's scared, that let me know she got a good shot. You better act right, whatever you do. You better confess your deliverance consistently. I'm just kidding. As we close, this is the only thing I want to leave you with. I'm going to leave you with these two words. Choose excellence. As I'm going through this sermon, that's what I want to leave you with. Yes, you do not have to choose it. But I almost beg of you to choose excellence. And choose it down in your spirit. Down here. I don't even know, because I don't want to go too much further because I'm done. But you almost have to practice excellence. You have to. Let me give you an example. My brother Stephen just sent me a pair of glasses for my sunglasses for my birthday, and they were a more expensive pair. I normally get the cheap pair because I lose sunglasses. I always buy the cheap pair. But after I put them on my face and said, "Why do I always settle for the cheap stuff, just because that's what it's been in my life before?" The reason why I kept losing them because there were no value to them. So just yesterday we were in the mall, and so I walked into the area where the good sunglasses were, and I had them on, and I tried on more of them. Not because I planned on buying anything. I want to know what it feels like to be in another level of excellence. That way, when I get there, I know how to handle it. Every now and then, go with your plastic knives and forks and watch YouTube and learn how to sit at a table the right way, so when you do get invited, you won't be surprised. You gotta try out excellence. And one thing I'm finding out, it feels good on me. Feels good to walk in excellence. I'm not going to be sedity. I'm not going to get the big head. But there's some stuff I'll never go back to because of my excellent spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, choose excellence. Come on, waiting to excel. Let's stand to our feet.